Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
An interesting play premieres in Australia just in a few weeks. Quiet Faith is an interesting play that examines the role of Christians in society. It's from the pen of award-winning documentary theatre maker David Williams. A surprising and deeply personal journey into the world of what they describe it as a quietly, progressively faithful people. Quiet Faith invites audiences to experience the perspectives of everyday Christian Australians on things like religion and belonging and loyalties and community. It offers an immersive and heartfelt portrayal of the different types of Christianity that play out in our community, even at a time when what we're normally hearing is sometimes loud, shouty and quite frankly, sometimes judgmental and unhelpful rhetoric about the way politics intersects with Christianity. Not always a helpful thing. So the beginnings of the play date back to 2013, in the midst of debates about, amongst other things, asylum seekers. It's born out of David Williams' concern, his alarm in fact, at some of the statements from conservative Christian political figures in the public debate. I asked him, what was it that raised his concern in particular?
I guess what concerned me at the time, and still does, is the decreasing welcome that self-professed Christian parliamentarians were offering to those in need and those vulnerable in our society. So the defunding of social security services, of homeless shelters, of domestic violence shelters for women, the kind of erosion of welcome and compassion that was being driven by parliamentarians who were very adamant that their political values were inspired by Christian values. And there did seem to be a disconnect there between messages of love and compassion and welcome that are embedded in the teachings of Jesus Christ. And so I just thought, why are these people the ones who get to say, we are Christians, and if you are a Christian, vote for us? Why not these other people who are also Christians, who are working in these spaces? Why are we not having those conversations?
There's one answer to that is, and this has been a lifelong interest of mine, given a background in politics and media and other things. But one of the answers to that is that it's not evident that, shall I say, Christians with a left-wing or progressive idea about political issues, it's not evident that they go into politics and start professing those views. They're very quiet. And I just wonder why that's the case still. I always encourage young people, however their Christianity expresses itself in their interface with the world, to not fail to join political parties, not fail to be part of the debate.
Yeah, I don't know that you necessarily have to join a political party to be involved in the debate, but certainly there does seem to have been an increase in, I suppose, more nuanced political perspectives from public Christians to various issues. Something that I became very interested in while I was making the show was the Love Makes a Way movement, as you may be aware, are a group of originally just Christian, but now it's a multi-faith movement, leaders who staged prayer vigils in the office of Christian parliamentarians to pray for them to change their mind on the offshore detention policies, which, as we know, is a cross-party issue. You know, both parties have supported offshore detention of asylum seekers.
There are a couple of these hot-button issues. Asylum seekers is one of them, and it goes to this question that you raised earlier, or the proposition that you raised, that an appropriate Christian response would be to be welcoming, to be loving. Now, people like Scott Morrison, and I've actually, you know, engaged with him on this question and others, will say to you, well, it's not loving to allow people to be put into the hands of people smugglers so that they die at sea. That's also an appropriate response to protect and preserve life. So what would you or the people you've spoken to for your play Quiet Faith, what would they say about that?
some of them would suggest that the Treasurer was being somewhat disingenuous with his statements on of that particular statement. Other people would suggest that people are still dying at sea. They're just we're just not being permitted to know about it. This is the same immigration minister who was talking about we can't comment on water matters. So how do we know whether that the expressed desire, the expressed policy outcome is actually occurring? You know, it's wrapped up in secrecy. And yes, indeed, if we wanted to keep people out of the hands of people smugglers, then perhaps if we went directly to where people started their journey, so they wouldn't have to go on the journey in the first place. Of course, you know, these are complex issues that lay people like you and I are non-experts. I'm not an immigration policy expert, and of course, we do need to have a policy in place that isn't just a completely no border, anyone can come. Obviously, that's not going to work to preserve the social fabric of Australia at all. But but does it need to be as cruel as it has become? Does it, it's deliberately cruel now as a deterrent to stop people coming on that journey.
Well, that's right. And I think here is really fruitful territory. We could talk about the policy on asylum seekers for a long time, and we could get lots of agreement and disagreement. But here's the thing, and I think this is where you've come from. Tell me if I'm right. David Williams is our guest. He's a playwright. He's the author of Quiet Faith. It's premiering in Sydney in April, and then it's touring Australia, and it's about ordinary Australians expressing their views. Here's the question, David. Is the view of Christians in the public debate shaped by issues like this in a way in which some of them seem to be mean-spirited? Is that what you're saying, that you'd rather have a generous sort of view of Christianity out there as part of the debate?
I think that it's unhelpful that when we talk about Christians in the public sphere, that there is a default response that that Christians are conservative. Default around everything. They're socially conservative. They're economically conservative. They are people who are like Fred Nisley, Scott Morrison's, or your Lyle Shenton's. That is the mould of Christians, and all Christians are like that.
It's become a journalistic cliche, and therefore it's become part of our zeitgeist.
Absolutely, I would absolutely agree with that. Christians, as you know, have an incredibly complex array of views around all things in public life.
Yes.
And there has been, particularly on the left, a discomfort with dealing with ideas of faith in a serious, genuine way. And that's been particularly evident in the arts. In my experience in the arts, I've been working in theatre professionally for a bit over 20 years now. Yes. There is a great discomfort over the idea of taking faith seriously. It's very easy to mock Christians. It's very easy to say, oh, they're people who believe in invisible sky fairies, and therefore we don't need to take anything they say seriously.
Yes.
And I definitely did not want to do that with this play. I wanted to take faith very seriously. I wanted to take the concerns about the social world that that we together are all building of these ordinary Christians very seriously, and talk about the complex ways in which their faith animates their journey through public life.
Well, in your play Quiet Life, we meet those ordinary Christian Australians, if you like. Tell me about them.
Yeah. So there are a range of people. There are some kind of older people who... So I've spoke to... doctors and scientists who are in their 60s and 70s. I spoke to an old Methodist church member who's a lifelong unionist. I spoke to a younger Christian man in his 30s who is very much an asylum seeker activist. I spoke to a young actor who's in his 20s, who's a Christian, who is really struggling with the questions of faith within the lane that he works in.
Yeah, it's tough.
So I spoke to a range of people. I spoke to social workers, I spoke to health workers, I spoke to a couple of priests.
So are you drawing any conclusions from these? So these interviews, as it were, they then get played out in the drama, the play on stage. What is this quiet group saying to those of us who are more noisy in the public sphere?
I don't think they're saying any one thing, and I think it's very important to note that I'm not a scientist. This is not a comprehensive representative survey of Australian Christians. This is about 20 people who were willing to talk to me with a recording device in my hand around these issues. These people themselves have different opinions on things. Some are very comfortable with the same-sex marriage debate because, you know, if the key principle of the teachings of Jesus Christ was about, you know, love others as I have loved you, then how could it be a problem if there was more love in the world? Some of the people that I spoke to are quite uncomfortable with that. They wrestle with, you know, obviously we want people to be happy and we want people to be in loving relationships, but we're also not quite sure that this is right. There are a range of perspectives, and that Christian Australians are not any one thing, and therefore we can't consider them to be monolithic. We can't consider them to be disconnected or somehow parallel to mainstream Australian society. These are the people that are part of our society, and we need to be respectful, we need to listen, and we need to take seriously the concerns of diverse ranges of Australians around all issues of public life and stop thinking in partisan, polarised ways about everything. I think we just need to be more embracing generally in society and respectful of differences of opinion and capacity for debate.
I think we need to listen more and speak less. It's always good advice, and I find it, you know, challenging. David Grabowski in the Barefoot Review wrote, "Whether you're a full-blown atheist, one of the flock, or a complete hypocrite, you'll not leave the same as you entered." What do you think he meant by that?
Certainly the show does require audiences to listen closely. It's a very intimate, immersive show for audiences that are limited to 85 people. So the audience sits very close together, and the performers work in very close proximity to them. So it is a show that requires a lot of listening. And that, strangely, can be transformative in itself. The theatre is usually a place where you go and you sit safely in the dark, and you have actors who to perform in the light, and then you don't have to do anything other than be present while they do those things.
Yes.
Quiet faith is a little bit more demanding, but in a gentle, welcoming way, in that you are, you know, you're right there, you're part of the conversation. The show does reference many aspects of a church-going experience. The show is punctuated by songs of faith and songs of praise. Each person that I spoke to, I asked them to recommend a song of faith or a song of praise that they found personally significant. And I've curated a hymn list, I suppose, for the show. So the show does have moments of contemplation and moments of musicality. It is a very beautiful experience. But as you say, it is an experience about listening and being present with a group of people in a very intimate way.
Well, I hope it goes well for you. It premieres in April 26th to the 28th at the Riverside in Parramatta in Sydney, and then around Australia. Quiet Faith is the name of the production, and the author, David Williams. Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
And his quiet play, Faith play, and it's quiet, and it's intimate. I like that idea. Did you notice just 85 people in the theatre and a little bit more engaging, perhaps, than sitting in a dark space and feeling like you can zone out? Although I've never really felt I can zone out in live theatre in the way that you do in a movie theatre. Isn't it important that the arts have a real role in holding up this spotlight to our society and asking questions?
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.